Hey guys, it's Jess. I wanted to share with you another analogy that I use often with parents when I'm talking about regulation. And particularly, I've been using this analogy to explain sort of the problems that we see with the behavioral approach. So the analogy is the regulation cup. And this is not original to me. I truly don't even remember anymore now where I have heard it from. But this is my take on it. I may have adapted over time. So I think of each of our kids as a cup, and every demand that gets placed on them in a day is something in the cup. So you can give different examples here. Sometimes I say, imagine it's a drop of coffee every time, you know, into the cup. And for some of our kids, they have things that just stay in the cup all the time. If they have postural insecurity, they have motor planning issues, emotional regulation difficulties, sensory processing difficulties. If they have language difficulties, those are things that just are in the cup all the time, taking up space because it impacts so much of what they do. Vision, right? And then you add on the typical demands we place on kids all the time, right? We add in, go get yourself dressed, get yourself ready for school, follow the directions, sit down, raise your hand, stop running in the hallway. They get to the end of the day and that cup starts to really fill up. And the other things that might be in there could be, I didn't sleep well, I'm not feeling super good, I'm hungry, right? There's so many other things, big emotions. I'm feeling frustrated, I had a hard test today. Sibling rivalry, you know, this is common kids stuff. So once that cup starts to fill up, we only really see when it has overflowed. So once it starts leaking out everywhere, that's when we see a big behavior. We see a big meltdown, right? Something happens that grabs our attention and triggers us to go, oh, we need to do a cleanup here. But what we don't see is the cup filling up and all the things that are sitting inside of it. So one of the things I explain to our families about the importance of occupational therapy is that our job is to evaluate and figure out what's in the cup and what are some strategies we can use to empty the cup periodically to prevent the overflow. Once that cup is overflowing, there's not a whole lot you can do. Most of the time, it's time and space. You need to give that big emotion, that big feeling time, and it's some space to let that happen and clean it up. Right? You spill and you just got to clean it up. But we want to work instead to prevent the spill in the first place. It feels like crap to have your cup overflowing like that. And some of our kids are functioning all the time with that cup super, super full. And you can imagine just like walking around with a very full cup of hot coffee, they might be tense and controlling and kind of triggered easily too. So, right? If we're walking around through a busy environment with a steaming cup of coffee and it's super, super full, I'm gonna probably freak out anytime anyone gets too close to me. If you change directions, you want me to go to a different place, I need control because I need to protect myself from the cup overflowing. And we see those same things in our kids. And sometimes that's where we're looking for those initial cues of potential dysregulation before the cup overflows. So our goal is to identify what's in the cup, address what we can, figure out some strategies to empty the cup periodically in a proactive way, and then co-regulate through the eventual overflow that eventually happens. Now, one thing I've been thinking about lately about this cup analogy in reference to behavior is that oftentimes I think, particularly in our educational systems, but especially in society, we look at the last drop that went into the cup, right? We have a big meltdown. What happened right before? Oh, little Johnny took your toy. And we assume that that last drop that goes into the cup has the same value or weight as everything else that's been filling it up all day. And I think this is where our schools sometimes fail our kids and our patients, is that they're only looking at that last drop and trying to create a plan based off of that. They're not figuring out that there's like a million other things that have been filling up the cup all day. They only saw the last one. I think this also then later might apply to those kids that end up with significant school avoidance. Often we are getting kids, teens really, in the stage of school avoidance that's so severe. But really what's been happening, what families will tell us, is this has been happening since elementary school. Elementary school, worsening into middle school, and by end of middle school, early high school, it's a flat out, I am not going. But what's been happening likely in those situations is this is a kid with a very full cup all the time, expected to show up at school and keep a lid on it all day long. And because nobody sees how full their cup is, the school goes, they're fine. Parent, this is your problem. You're not setting boundaries at home. You need to just get them to school. Just get this super, super full cup to school because he's able to keep his lid on it at school. He holds it all together and then goes home and overflows and dumps. And then no wonder at some point they go, I don't want to go to school. It sucks to be operating with a full cup all the time and people just trying to shove more demands into that cup. You know, I always picture them that like overflowing trash can that nobody wants to empty out. You just keep shoving stuff in there. That's not a sign of success. That might also just be a sign of survival. And I think we forget often as humans that there's a lot of stuff we can do. That doesn't mean we have the endurance to do it every single day, right? Maybe we could climb Mount Everest if we train for it and we prepare and we throw all of our energy into it and we save all of our spoons and we use it one time, but we can't climb Mount Everest every single day. And for our kids who operate with full cups all the time and no one's recognizing it, they're just saying, just keep pushing through. They're being asked to climb Mount Everest every single day. And because they keep doing it, it looks like it should be easy and they're being successful. When reality is they're putting in everything that they have all day long, and then they trigger burnout and you get school avoidance and you get more significant behaviors. And by that point, you've been really kind of beating this down for like years and years and years. So this cup analogy, I think, can play out in so many different ways and really help shift the focus of this is why we work away from behavioral models, because it's looking at very cause and effect strategies. This happened and then this happened, so let me change the thing that happened to influence the outcome. And that might work maybe in some situations for some kids, but oftentimes, being that we are far more complex individuals with lots of complexity in our very full cups, it doesn't work, or it forces us to find a way to survive, find a way to climb Mount Everest every single day with a full cup because there's no other choice. If you even think about this within the context of trauma and the things that people have endured from traumatic situations, the fact that they lived and continued to survive and put one foot in front of the other every single day doesn't mean that they were succeeding and that they were thriving. They were just finding a way to survive. And we have to think about that, I think, and reframe that for our families too. If just because your child can meet the expectation when you hold it really strong sometimes doesn't mean it's an appropriate expectation. If they're putting in all their energy, if it's climbing Mount Everest every single time, eventually you're going to hit a wall, hit a barrier, and not be able to go any further. So that, like I said, that cup analogy I think could be useful in so many different situations and contexts for people to really think about how full is the cup and what do I expect my child to do with this cup that's full or partially full? How many demands can they actually handle in a successful way? Not in a way that they're just doing it to survive and get by, doing it because I have no other choice, but doing it because I really, truly feel successful. And when that point happens, that just right challenge, we know because they will typically seek that out, right? We all want to feel like we can overcome challenges. When the challenge is too big, it requires too much effort to do repeatedly, we start avoiding it. We don't want to do it. If it's just right, it's a little tricky, but not too hard, we'll keep going after it because it feels really good to conquer that. So that's always the gauge of, is this the just right challenge? Can they meet it consistently and in that moment? And if not, you may have to adjust those expectations because the cup may just be too full.